This is Financial Detox, helping you retire with confidence. Featuring Jason Labrum, certified financial planner and founder of IDA Wealth, intelligence-driven advisors. For over 20 years, Jason has shown people how to steer clear of toxic advice, achieve financial peace of mind, and manage their wealth for maximum impact. Join Jason and co-host Alex Klingensmith as they simplify the complex, share industry secrets, and provide proven strategies designed to take you from financial insecurity to financial independence. This is Financial Detox. Money.
Hi, I'm Jason Labrum. It's Financial Detox in studio with Alex Klingensmith. And here we go for a show, another show today. And today we're going to be talking, we're going off the grid a little bit, and we're starting to talk about some products today, because we don't normally talk about products. We talk more about investment philosophy and how to make better decisions so you are not financially toxified and you can do better with your money. But today we're diving into some products, and we have a really good reason why. We're going to tell a story about the client's story.
Yes. No names.
We're not going to say any names.
Or the names are fictitious in this story.
Fictitious names. But it is Financial Detox. If you want to get a hold of us, check us out at financialdetox.com. You can also give us a call at 877-707-8889. That's 877-707-8889. What's up, Alex? How are we doing, man?
I'm doing good. I want to hear the story. I heard the story, the abbreviated version.
And I got the whole thing.
I want to know why we're talking about products, because I'm ready for it, but there's a reason behind it.
There is a reason. So we work with a lot of prospective clients, and we bring on a lot of new clients to our firm because we have a really great process and it's awesome what we do. But we were working with a new client who had about $2.9 million at January 1. That was their December statement for 2019. And COVID hit. Of course, markets went down a lot, but then the markets didn't really recover for him. So he went down, but the point of the story was he came to us because his statement last week, which was mid-August, right, was only $900,000.
Whoa. So he went 2.9 million in 9 months turned into
$900,000.
But didn't the stock market bounce?
It did. So
happened, right?
Yeah.
did I miss something?
The sharp V recovery did happen, but this particular client didn't. So of course we started looking into what they had and started trying to understand their story, see if we're a good fit. And what had happened is they were working with an advisor who is an independent advisor. I would say we're an RIA, because the independent's interesting, right? An independent advisor may be affiliated, and most likely is affiliated, with a broker dealer. And a broker dealer arrangement does virtually almost totally prohibits an advisor from being a fiduciary, legally bound to act in the client's best interest. So this particular financial advisor, who we actually know, is an independent but tied to a broker dealer, so they get paid commissions for selling products. So then we started looking at the products, and we saw immediately the two major positions in this client's portfolio were what are called BDCs and business development corporations and non-traded REITs. So we'll talk more about that as we go, but the point of the story was this advisor had sold this client these high commission products, upwards of 15% commissions. That then 15% adjusts the price right away, so you start from a 15% hole. He had sold them on, there's great income, they pay 10 or 12% dividends.
So if you put in $1 million, you actually start with $850,000, because the $150,000 went to pay the advisor?
Correct. I wouldn't call him an advisor. I would say the $150,000 went to pay the broker.
Sorry,
broker. And so, yeah, the broker gets paid $150,000. You start in a hole $150,000, and then you have a 10-year surrender penalty, where if you sold out at any time, they would adjust your price to recoup that $150,000 that they paid. It's kind of like an annuity with an upfront commission in a way.
And a double whammy was that these particular products, it sounded like, did not benefit or did not experience what the market experienced during that 9 month period.
Not at all. And so, you know, what I think the point of the story is here, and as we get kicked off, Financial Detox, if you look at the title of my book, right, it's How to Avoid Toxic Advice and Manage Your Wealth for Maximum Impact. And how to avoid toxic advice matters. That is a real statement, right? All financial advice and all financial advisors slash brokers slash insurance sales folks, that we're not created equal. There is a very vast difference. Another quick story, having a lunch with a guy who works with advisors. He works with 800 advisors. He's what we call in our business a wholesaler, right? So he has a particular product. His product is a private investment. So they do separately managed accounts, sophisticated, you know, individual stock selection, tax efficient, all this. we started talking about what we do, and his comment was like, I never really realized how much what you guys do and how much you do for your portfolios. He goes, there's no advisors doing that, right? Advisors don't do that. So,
yeah, it takes a lot
and I'm not trying to pat our own back because that's silly, but there really is. We have built a firm that operates with precision that
and we pursue better.
Don't even think about.
I mean, look at yesterday. We were on a phone call with a small group of us to do a dry run on some pretty important parts of what
right.
we do.
Yeah.
We never give up.
No.
Like, and we continually debate over the same stuff, which is. Sometimes can be really fun because then something comes of that always, right? We improve upon things because we're never satisfied, I guess,
right.
on behalf of our clients, which is pretty cool.
The pursuit of better is never ending, right? So we want to have a show. We wanted to talk about this to help our listeners think about what's being sold to you and who is selling it, right? Where is this source of information? What is the arrangement? How does that advisor, quote, I'm using air quotes for those who aren't watching on a clip, but how does an advisor differ from a broker? What is an independent guy who's with an LPL or a Raymond James or something like that? I'm not disparaging those companies. They can do a fine job too, but the arrangement is different than if you work with an advisor who's at some way like the Financial Detox Team and Intelligence Driven Advisors, that's a full-time RIA legally bound to act in your best interest. There's a big difference.
We don't talk about products very often either, so I think that's cool about this show. I feel like it's deja vu from 4 years ago when we first started. We did talk about products a lot back then.
Yeah, we did.
I remember a show where we talked about BDCs. I had to go look it up because we don't. I mean, so it's kind of funny because we actually asked some of our partners, some of our research analyst partners, to give us to see if they could come up with some data, some performance on BDC, business development corporations and non-traded REITs and some of these products that we don't use.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even possible.
Yeah. So I mean, I think the big hit here to open up the first segment, the big thing to realize is that when you are buying, when an advisor is selling you a product that pays an upfront commission to them, you need to be very, very wary. There's a reason why they're paying an upfront commission to push the sales of this product. How come these products don't sell on their own? How come they're not a natural fit for people? Why do they have to pay a 15% commission and lock you in for 10 years? And then also in this particular, the two that we're highlighting today are BDCs, business development corporations, and non-traded REITs, who there have been countless stories you hear about in the paper or on the news about advisors who have abused, or been sued by their clients or abused the products that they sold to their clients for commissions. And these two kind of always seem to come up again, right?
They do.
And in San Diego, it's come up a couple times with different advisors. So selling products for a big commission, you got to be aware. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is too good to be true. So when somebody tells you, I've got something, it's a business. We buy loans, small businesses that normally don't have access to the market.
Liquor licenses, that one?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, we're going to talk about that in a little bit more detail. We're going to go into some other products and ways that you can recognize when there's danger in the water when it comes to what investments you're making. So stay with us. It's Financial Detox. I'm Jason Labrum, your host. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back. It's Financial Detox. Today we're talking about products. We're talking about a couple specific products that we've seen cause investors some trouble. And we're talking specifically about non-traded REITs, and we're talking about BDCs, business development corporations, often sold by financial advisors who claim to be totally independent and that they can bring you any products, but yet they are working with a broker-dealer, and that broker-dealer arrangement is set up such that they pay these advisors 15-ish percent, maybe 12% commission on the front end to sell these products while you're locked in for a 10 to 12 year.
A little history. I just read something I think this is, it's on BDCs.
Yep.
So there's the Investment Company Act of 1940,
right?
Which the, as you know, created a lot of what we can do and kind of the infrastructure around regulating our industry.
One of the reasons why we call ourselves advisors versus advisors, because we are an investment advisor.
That's right.
Not an advisor.
At some point, maybe some British person put an O instead of an E. I don't know what happened there. I'm just teasing the British people, by the way, just because they spell things a little bit different than us, right? But maybe they're probably right, actually. We changed it later.
Right.
So in 1980, Congress actually amended that act, the 1940 Act, to allow for BDCs. And so they're unregistered closed-end products. And here's the pro.
What does unregistered mean?
It means it's not registered. It means that, It's not, it doesn't exist. No, I don't know. What does it mean? It means that, yeah, like what we...
It's not registered to the SEC as an investment product. Therefore, you're really not selling a security.
The rules are different, yeah, right? Or there's no rules. Or the rules are exactly. So I think, but here's the thing that I was learning this literally today because we don't sell BDCs. We don't like them, period. But there are pros to them. So here's a pro. The reason why Congress said that was a good decision is it does allow for the small guy, the small investor, access to things that otherwise would only be exclusive to accredited investors, right? Or qualified investors.
Right.
So that's the I think that's kind of the logic behind why they're there.
Right.
If you don't have a few million dollars or more, maybe you want access to some of these really interesting, different things that aren't the public markets. That's why people get excited because they're like, oh, this is what rich people do. Right.
Yeah, and then also they sound really good. There's great bells and whistles, right? So when you go to buy a BDC, they're going to talk about how you have access to private markets, and you're going to take your money, and most often they're lending that money out. You're going to lend your money to institutions,
venture capital,
small,
private equity.
Yeah,
you start to say words like that to an investor, and they're like, "Whoa, this is cool! Like, I want whatever the venture capital people are doing."
They're actually even lending money to private equity firms that are then in turn buying highly speculative private companies.
Yeah.
And so, but the concept of what is a BDC, I think we got to talk about that for a second. A BDC is an organization that can take your money and buy private companies. They have to buy most of the money, has to go to private companies under $250 million in revenue, right?
Right?
So they have to buy smaller businesses, or they have to lend their money, which is what they do about 90% of the time, is they lend their money through debt to these smaller companies, and these smaller companies, and they pay a higher rate, a much higher rate, because they're typically not bankable. In other words, they can't go through traditional financing to get loans, traditional banks and whatnot. So then they go to BDCs to get their loans, and their loans are much higher rates. For example, the BDCs that we know of and have looked at and studied that clients owned, or for one reason or another, a prospective client owned, I mean, sometimes the yields are 8%, sometimes the yields are 10%. Well, we have to go back to one of the fundamental principles of investing, which is risk and return are related. So if a bond is paying you 8 to 10% today, or 10 to 12 or 15%,
yeah,
when normal traditional bonds are paying 2 or 3, maybe 4, why is it paying you that much? Is it because it's just the secret that nobody figured out? Probably
that's
not.
That's what we all hope for. We want to be part of
Human
something
instinct.
Winning. Totally.
Hell yeah.
And the story you just told, the way you describe BDCs, I kind of want to buy one because I'm like, well, that sounds amazing.
Right. Access to private.
So advisors acting as brokers can tell that story. They could read a couple paragraphs that the manufacturer of the product made and make a sale and make 15%.
Yeah, and what's crazy is if you bought a BDC from an RIA, so if the Financial Detox Team and Intelligence Driven Advisors, if we decided that there was one of these that was really great, run by the right team, it was awesome.
Liquor licenses.
Or taxi cab licenses.
The real story, actually.
Because if they shut down Uber and they shut down Lyft, then taxi cabs are making a huge comeback.
Oh, I didn't even think about that one.
Huge.
Yeah.
Okay, so, but here we go. So we got producer Mike laughing a little bit. That's good.
Well, I mean, maybe we'll start selling BDCs by the end of the show.
We could. But here's the difference. So you talk about all advice not being created equal. If we were to find a BDC that we thought was great and we would sell it, there would be no 15% commission because we don't get paid commissions. We're totally getting the short end of this.
Let's say Goldman Sachs.
We should go to
everybody's
a broker
dealer. Everybody's heard of
we
Goldman Sachs, right?
We should quit IDA
Hold on. Goldman Sachs creates a BDC around this taxi cab thing. Because Uber and Lyft decide because of employment laws, they're leaving California. So this could blow up in California, be an
sure.
amazing opportunity. But Goldman's going to make two flavors of this thing. They're going to make one that's commissionable and one that's
not. Right.
How does Goldman make money? How does the advisor make money if they sell the one that doesn't have commissions in it? How does that work?
Right. They would charge their annual regular fee where you've got to continue to earn it every year. Like that's how we get paid, right? We charge a fee for the assets that we manage and the financial plan that we construct.
The client's paying us, not Goldman.
Client directly
Goldman doesn't
pays
pay
us.
Advisor in that situation.
The only allegiance we have is to our clients, right? So
yeah.
We get paid. So we would get paid over time. It would take us 15 years to make what an advisor at an independent broker dealer or a big wire house, the big financial firms you know of. The only difference from them is they get paid like 6 or 7% because the brokerage firm keeps a bunch and doesn't pay them. It doesn't tell them, at least at the independent.
But it's the same product, right? The investor has the same
That's the exact same thing.
Similar experience, yeah.
Yeah, it's the exact same product, ultimately. The one just, they get to invest all their money right away, and the other they don't. And you mentioned, we don't ever do these. We have done a BDC at one time.
We did?
Yes, we did.
What?
There was, yeah, and it was a very interesting product. We liked it, we believed in it. It turned out okay, certainly not the best investment we've ever made.
Okay.
Certainly not the best investment we've ever made, but it turned out okay. But it was crazy because in talking about the different revenue structures, like we don't receive compensation.
Right.
A true fiduciary will not receive compensation from anything other than their client, and or if there was a commission paid on an insurance or something, they would fully disclose that actual commission. So, but what happened is, we were looking at this and they were showing us the NAV, mm-hmm. the net asset value, versus the price if you paid the commission. And it was 15% different.
And this is,
so our clients bought the same product from the guy down the street and they just
15% more expensive.
15% more expensive.
So in ours, it's interesting. The reason why we did it probably was because it was an asset class solution that we said, this is the best position for this asset class. We're going to make our lives more difficult because it's not a traded security.
Yep.
So we have to go and do extra paperwork or extra administrative things because it's the best thing for the client. We don't make any extra money doing that, right?
No. And we are talking about products. We actually went off in the last segment. We got into it. We decided we're closing down IDA and we're going to go to an independent broker dealer and start making 15% commissions that our clients don't know about.
I heard LPL has this awesome infrastructure that makes it real easy to
Nothing wrong with LPL. We're not talking bad about LPL, but it gives us a great opportunity where we can get paid 15% commission on products that we sell. So you mean to say that every day we bring in new money, we can get 15% commission on it?
Okay, so we're going to talk about the cons of these products now. the pros of some of them were it gives the average investor access to investments that are typically not available to people that are not accredited, right?
All right, so we're talking about, what are we doing? Let's recap here. We're talking about products today. We're talking about specifically BDCs and non-traded REITs, and we're talking about them because we got a new client that came to our firm.
Yeah.
And they had a really bad experience where it lost a significant amount of their money. It didn't really recover, and they own basically all BDCs
really
and non-traded
sad story,
REITs.
Actually.
It is sad. And so we go back to look at these products that were sold to this client, and the client did not understand that there was 15% commission, did not understand there was 10-year surrender penalties, did not understand the potential downsides. And unfortunately, it doesn't look good. You know, I mean, we're talking serious money, millions of dollars evaporating. So it's difficult for that particular client. What we're trying to do is help you avoid these mistakes, avoid toxic advice, make better financial decisions so that you do not get in this trap. You need to watch out for BDCs. You need to watch out for non-traded REITs. I'm not saying they're all bad. And there may be a good one out there. We haven't seen very many of them, but there may be a good one out there. But you need to be careful. And when you're working with an advisor or a broker who calls himself an advisor, who masquerades as an advisor, but they're actually brokers, meaning they work with a broker dealer and they get paid commissions to sell products, you've got to put your red flag up. You've got to be aware because this kind of stuff can have catastrophic impacts on your financial plan and what you're trying to do for your life. And the trick is there is no free lunch, right? Risk and return are related. If they tell you some great fancy story about how wonderful the dividend, 15%, it pays me 15%. Well, it doesn't matter if it goes down by 15% a year or down by 20% a year, the 15%.
Sounds like a Ponzi scheme at that point.
It's very
really,
Ponzi-ish. But... So anyway, I cut you off.
No, it's okay. I was just saying we're not going to close down IDA and sell products.
We
decided, I mean, I started in the industry, remember when you first met me, I was really good at insurance, which is product sales. And then I learned, and you taught me that, look, there might be a place for a fixed index annuity in a client portfolio. Understanding all the pros and the cons about it, disclosing all the compensation for a piece of the client's plan.
Even a variable could be right at the right situation at the right time.
But only after building a complete financial plan and talking about all the things that are possible, and then maybe a small percentage or a portion of the portfolio going there. And here's how it sounds now, the way our story goes, I think, when we sell this one product, if we ever even use it in a portfolio, is, look, this thing's not going to grow very much over time.
Right.
It's there to protect your principal and guarantee you income for life. Don't compare it to any of your other investments. They're going to outperform this thing.
You're talking about an annuity.
An annuity.
In that case.
Yes. We don't, the BDC thing, we've, as you pointed out, we have tried that before, and it's not
working. We've used one, didn't work out that great. It wasn't terrible, but it didn't work out.
A non-commissionable one.
But the big one was that our clients bought it at NAV, where other clients got 15% less because their 15% went to pay a commission, people who bought it from an independent broker masquerading as a financial advisor.
Yeah.
The other one we need to hit on before we
close. Non-traded REITs,
we got to talk about non-traded REITs because non-traded REITs are pretty popular. I mean, you see a lot of them out of here. There's been a big, well-known San Diego financial advisor who their business was basically built on selling non-traded REITs. Again, non-traded REITs work the same. If you buy a non-traded REIT from a RIA, a registered investment advisory firm, that has independent advisors, independent advisor representatives working for it, as full-time, all-the-time fiduciaries, and they do not have a broker-dealer affiliation, when you buy that non-traded REIT, you're going to get the price of that non-traded REIT.
Yeah.
When you buy it from a broker who's masquerading as a financial advisor, you're going to get 10 to 12, 15% sometimes below the actual NAV price.
Pay the broker.
Because they got to pay a commission. You would lose 15% of your initial investment versus coming in with all of your money being invested day one and paying your small fee over time as we continue to earn your trust and confidence.
What about,
that you got to be careful of. That's toxic, right?
It is. The other part is, why would you buy a non-traded REIT versus a traded REIT, right?
Right.
And I think one of the arguments for the non-traded REIT is that there's less liquidity, meaning you can't get your money out, you're just locked in for a while. I mean, like a decade, right?
Or more.
That can be a good thing for some investors, because then they're not going, you know, they're not looking at their account value daily, moving with the market. Because REITs do move like that. Traded REITs that are on the exchange do move like that.
Yep.
It can be stressful. You can sell when it's down. Yep. You can make mistakes.
Yeah. Behavioral blunders.
So one of the things about non-traded REITs that I kind of like is that the investor is probably not going to, you know, you don't have that flexibility.
Yeah, they can.
But then you don't have that flexibility. You know, if you need the money, you're not going to be able to get it out.
If it's a really good product that makes sense long-term, that has low cost, I like the liquidity factor, but I don't like the illiquidity factor, because there is a premium for illiquidity. Mm-hmm. We see it in a PIMCO fund that we've used, where it's an interval fund, so there's only quarterly liquidity, and they can even restrict that. And they are able to do things in that fund that you can't otherwise do. The problem is when you start hiding these 15% commissions.
Yeah.
That's the problem, right? And also the problem is the lack of regulation. These are non-traded, these are unregistered products. Therefore, there is really no regulation, and there is no requirement for the BDC or the non-traded REIT to disclose their financials. They don't have to disclose what's going on financially with the investment that you own. Whereas when you own a publicly traded stock, or you own bonds that are bought and traded on the publicly traded markets, you have total and absolute transparency into that organization, what their financials are. They're heavily regulated, monitored. They have to post their financials. So
ETFs, mutual funds. That's why we couldn't get performance on it when we went and asked our partners.
You can't, because they're private investments. So you need to be very, very, very cautious of these, particularly if you are buying them just straight out, don't. Right, we're allowed to give advice.
I was going to say, I'm proud of you. You've gone 23 minutes without talking about our investment philosophy. Actually,
I haven't. I know.
Just products is great.
Just straight out, do not buy a non-traded REIT or a BDC from anyone other than an RIA who isn't getting paid that 15 or 10% commission on the front end, because you will end up being very.
And if you do find one of those firms, then you want to make sure you have a complete financial plan. You want to understand the pros and cons, the illiquidity, all the things we talked about on the show.
Yeah.
And you also want to hear what their investment philosophy is, because any product is just a moment in time play.
Yeah.
You want to know what the long-term, you know, my whole life plan is going to look like.
And in the end, it always comes back to one thing. You need to have a financial plan. All advice is not created equally. You should find a full-time, all-the-time fiduciary to work with. And be careful, because a lot of brokers masquerading as advisors will now say they're a fiduciary, because it's popular to say that, even though they're not, or they may be able to be at times, but they can switch back and forth right in front of your very eyes. It's a crazy world out there. You got to be careful. You got to be educated, and you have to be financially detoxified. Thanks for listening. As always, I'm Jason Labrum with Alex Klingensmith, and we'll catch you next week on Financial Detox.
To learn more about Financial Detox and to get access to today's show notes, transcript, and resources, visit financialdetox.com. Call Jason and the team at Intelligence Driven Advisors. If you're ready for financial detox and a better tomorrow, call 877-707-8889. Get answers to your questions. That's 877-707-8889. That's financialdetox.com for podcasts and information. And if you like what you've heard, be sure to hit the subscribe button. That way, you'll be notified about upcoming podcasts. You'll take one more step toward financial peace of mind. Money.
This content is provided for informational purposes only and should not be considered investment advice or recommendations to buy or sell any types of securities. Mr. Labrum and Intelligence Driven Advisors are not responsible for the consequences of any decisions or actions taken as a result of information provided in this program and do not warrant or guarantee the accuracy or completeness of the information provided. The information discussed today reflects the views of Mr. Labrum and his guests as of the date of the show and are subject to change without notice. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Any forward-looking statements or forecasts are based on assumptions, and actual results may vary from any such statements or forecasts. No reliance should be placed on any statements or forecasts when making an investment decision. Accordingly, listeners should not rely solely on information provided today in making any investment decisions. There is a risk of loss of investing in securities, including the risk of loss of principal. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk, and there can be no assurance that any specific investment will be profitable or suitable for particular investors, financial situation, or risk tolerance. Asset allocation and portfolio diversification cannot assure or guarantee better performance and cannot eliminate the risk of investment losses.